How would you define godly character? A.W. Tozer, author and theologian, described godly character as the thing that makes us excellent. As the excellence of gold is its purity, and the excellence of art is its beauty, so the excellence of man is his character. Persons of godly character are noted for their honesty, for their ethics, and their generosity. We hear phrases like man of principle or this woman of integrity, and they are descriptions of their character. Several people in the Bible are described as having godly character: Ruth, David, and Job, to name a few. These individuals' lives were distinguished by persistent moral virtue. It's important to note that character, godly character, is defined through a long-term lens, not specific actions. King David's public sins did not preclude him from being considered a man of godly character. Now, the Bible tells us that these types of men and women will set an example for others to follow, and that their reputation will be evident to all because of the way that they hold themselves. However, those who confess to be Christians and yet have bad or ungodly character will cause unbelievers to stumble. Character is important for our witness to others, and character is vitally important to God. You see, in this passage, Jesus describes godly character. And something interesting we see is that godly character, specifically in this passage, is connected to how we think about and how we utilize our possessions. Now, I believe there are two reasons Jesus connects character to material wealth here. The first was because of those who were listening to Jesus at the time. We see in verse 14, it says, "The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him." The Pharisees were people who said that they loved God, and yet their love was not to God, it was to money. The Pharisees believed that they were faithful, and yet their character was ungodly because their priority was to their wealth. Many people will be able to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, and yet many people end up becoming like Pharisees whose priority is not to the Lord. You can tell what they say is true by looking at somebody's character. Now, the second reason Jesus talks about wealth is because money is the clearest test of our character. God places money in our lives to see who and what we truly worship. It's interesting because money has a strange dichotomy within our lives. It is one of the greatest temptations to draw us away from God, and yet, at the same time, God has designed it so that we cannot live without it. Our character to God is more important than our abilities. In these three verses, Jesus points out three things. He points out one characteristic, one concept, and one ultimate conclusion that we should take away in order to have godly character. And through it all, he connects it to our material possessions. Let's look at it now. First is the characteristic. Verse 10, it says this: "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." This verse is a truth that can be applied to almost every area of our lives. When a person is faithful in little things, he will tend to be faithful when he has greater responsibilities. On the flip side, if he is irresponsible in small matters, he will be irresponsible in greater things. The reason for this is because our faithfulness in handling matters is not dependent upon our circumstances or our situations. It is dependent upon our character. Circumstances will change. The amount of money that we have will change. Our responsibilities, whether that's large or small, will change, but godly character does not change. You know, in the countryside, you'll see vegetable stands that operate on what is called the honor system. People stop by, they make their selection, and then they put their money in a cash box without the owner present. But you see, the honor system doesn't always work. There are many people who take from these stands but don't put anything in. You see, perhaps to them, taking vegetables seems like a small thing. But this verse is telling us that being honest in little things indicate how we will respond to big things. This verse tells us that an important sign of godly character is integrity and honesty. Being honest in the big things in life, but also being honest and having integrity in the everyday small things is vitally important to the Lord. That many times what he will do is before setting us up with something large, with something big, with something that is grand, he will first train us and enable us in something small. This is what this verse is saying. And that he will test our character, he will test our integrity and our honesty with these small things. And through that, he will see whether he will entrust us with something greater. Colossians 3:17, it says this, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, whether that's big, whether that's small, God is telling us to do it with everything that we have for the glory of God. Now, I know that's not easy to do. Absolutely. If I'm president or if I'm CEO of a company and all the eyes are on me and people are basing everything upon me to feed them, to give them money, to do all of these things, you know what? Most of us, I believe, will do the best job that we can. If we have that amount of accountability, if we have that amount of responsibility, yes, I believe that we would. However, when it comes to everyday, mundane responsibilities, when it comes to the small things that we have to go in and out and take responsibility for, of being maybe a good father, of being a good mother, of being a good husband or a wife, or being a good employee or a good boss, we tend to lose our motivation. But remember this, church. God uses the small things to test our character. Those things may seem trivial to us. They may seem small to other people, but to God, they are important. So the question becomes, how am I able to stay honest and faithful in the small things? If God tests my character in these small things in order to give me big things, how am I able to continue to be motivated? How am I able to continue to stay faithful in these things? See, church, as Christians, our motivation and faithfulness does not come from the task itself. It comes from our confidence in God's plan for our lives. We believe that God has a reason for all things and that God desires for us to be faithful in what we are doing because he has a will and a plan for us. That is how we are able to continue to stay faithful in all things. We know that, yes, big things, great things, good things are part of God's plan, but as Christians, we also believe that small things, things that don't go away, things that don't go according to our plan is also God's plans because his thoughts, his ways are higher than our ways. And that even though we don't understand, we still trust in him. That's how we are able to stay faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says this, be steadfast in your work, because you know your labor is not in vain. If you believe the work that you are doing right now is a waste, then you are already heading for defeat. People may not acknowledge your work, and others may not see what you do, but God sees you. Others may not keep you accountable in the small, everyday things of life, but God is keeping you accountable. He is testing your heart. He is allowing you to go through this for a purpose. It's his plan. That's what we believe. And through it all, as we stay faithful in the small things, as we stay faithful in the trivial things that other people may say are inconsequential, God sees it and he is proud of you. Why do I say that? Proverbs 27:18. Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honored. You see, back then, taking care of a fig tree was only done by servants. It was only done by those who were the lowest status. And what we know is that servants were considered slaves. They did not get rewards for doing their work. It was expected. There was no certain accountability. It was only when they did something bad that they would be punished. But King Solomon here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes about these servants because God sees them and honors them. If you have lacked motivation, if some of us have been unfaithful in our everyday responsibilities, my one word of gentle encouragement is to examine your relationship with God. The reason I say this is because as we read through Scripture, the greatest barrier to our faithfulness is going to be sin. Sin is like a boulder that drags us down. Instead of strengthening us, it sponges the spiritual strength from us. Sinful living damages our testimony for Christ and our passion for serving the Lord. It will make you question why you are doing what you are doing and why you don't have more. Brothers and sisters, if any of this sounds remotely like you, the only thing I ask is that you would examine your heart, repent of your sins, and remember the cross. Remember Jesus' faithfulness to you, and that even in your sin, even in our sin, he is waiting for us to turn back with open arms. So remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. After explaining this characteristic, Jesus then goes into a concept that helps develop godly character. Verse 11 and 12, it says this, "If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" You see, implicit here in Jesus' teaching is the concept of stewardship. It's the idea that God owns everything and that we are just stewards or managers of what he has entrusted to us. We are stewards of our time, we are stewards of our abilities, and we are stewards of our money. The key concept of being a steward is that the steward does not own what the master has entrusted to him. He merely manages it for the owner's purpose. If the steward begins to act as if he owns it, spending the owner's resources for his personal gain rather than for the owner's gain, he is unrighteous and unfaithful. Church, this principle of stewardship is a fundamental concept of Christian living. To be faithful as a steward, you must keep in mind that you do not own your money, God does. You do not own your car, God does. You do not own your house, God does. You do not own your life, God does. To forget or ignore God's purposes and to live as if what we have is ours to use for our own gain, for our own purposes, is to abuse what God has given us. You see, crucial to being a good steward is understanding the owner's purpose. If we are not meant to live for our own purposes or for our own gain, then we have to understand what the master's purposes are. In this world, the purpose is to make as much money as possible so that we can retire as early as possible. But what is our master's purpose? What is God's purpose? Jesus, he tells us in verse 9, And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Unrighteous wealth means money, which the world uses for unrighteous purposes, but Christians can and will use for God's purposes. Jesus is saying that just as the unrighteous steward uses his master's money to make friends for himself, we should use our master's money to make friends that will meet us in heaven. He's saying that use the money in this world, use the resources that you have here to spread the gospel so that the people that you evangelize to, the people that you spread the gospel to, are going to be able to greet you and meet you and celebrate with you in heaven. That is where your true investment is going to come from. The concept of stewardship is understanding that our possessions are God's possessions, and that our purpose is God's purpose to share his glory to all nations. That is the purpose of why we are doing everything that we're doing. That is the purpose of Christian living. That is the purpose of the concept of stewardship, is that all of what we have is the Lord's. Our wealth, our possessions, our life is the Lord, so that he can use it as he pleases for his purposes. And his purpose is to share his glory to all nations. Wealth is good. It's true. And the enjoyment of our wealth is good. No one is debating that. Don't believe any Christian who says being poor is Christian and being wealthy is not Christian. I don't know if anyone actually does say that, but if you ever hear that, don't believe it. Wealth is good. In fact, for us, we actually pray that God would bless our members financially so that they could support our missionaries. We ask that people will come into our church and that God would bless them so much, would give them an overflow of material possessions so that they could give to the nations, so that we could support more missionaries, so that we could do more work for his kingdom. We pray that. We desire that. However, what we also know is that wealth is never the issue. It's always about where our focus is. If we grasp the concept of faithful stewardship, our focus will not be on our financial success, but rather the financial success of God's business, which is spreading the gospel. You know, as I was looking over this verse, as I was studying it, it reminded me so much of our church. The vision of Shining Star is to spread the gospel to all nations. You know, one thing I always say when I meet people and I introduce them to our church or I say the name of our church is they're like, that is such an interesting church name. I've never heard that before. And I always tell them that we're named after Daniel 12:3, that we would raise members to shine like the brightness of the heavens and lead many to righteousness, that we would be like shining stars who would spread the gospel to all corners, which is why from the very beginning, we have always been uncompromising in the way that we give financially to our missionaries. That we have over 100 missionaries that we are supporting today, and we desire to give 100 more. We want to give as much as we can. We want to build up churches. We want to build up hospitals. We want to build up orphanages all over the world for the glory of God, so that those would come, so that people would come to know the Lord. If you're able to go to missions, I pray that you would seriously consider it, because you will see the work that our missionaries are doing, the churches that they are planting, the VBSs that they are doing. It is a wonderful thing to see children there who would not know God, know the Lord because of the work that God is using in our lives to be able to spread the gospel to them. We pray for them, yes. We visit them, yes, but we support them financially to the best of our ability because we see the work that God is doing in their lives. And so for us as a church, man, we want to say, would you earn more money? Yes. Would you gain more? Would you do the best that you can to get a promotion for the reason so that you can give to the Lord, so that you can give to missions, so that we can plant more churches for the glory of God to spread the gospel? That's what we want to do. That is our focus as a church. I am proud to be a part of this church. And I'm also proud to be a part of this church because I have witnessed how this type of thinking has ingrained itself in so many of our members. You see, the concept of tithing has fostered this erroneous notion that 10% belongs to God and the rest is ours to do as we please. Many Christians believe that 90% of their money is their own, since they already gave their portion to the Lord. But the Bible tells us that 100% belongs to God. Our lives belong to God. Our possessions belong to God. Everything belongs to the Lord. And I'm proud because our members have taken this to heart. Many of us give with the 1 Corinthians 16:2 mindset that says, give as the Lord has prospered him. That is not about giving the minimum of 10%. It's not about giving just as much as, you know, the spare amount you have. No. We have been able to witness members give above and beyond because they see the faithfulness of God in their lives. And on top of the sacrificial weekly and monthly giving, as a staff member, there is this confidence that our church has when we have a missions fundraiser. There is this peace and this bravery that we have when there's a donation list or anything where we need financial support, because we believe and we have seen it that our members always give above and beyond. That they see the purposes of the church. They see the purposes of what God is doing. And they have this long-term vision that is not about what we have right now, but it's about adding on to the kingdom of God. And so for our staff, we've talked about this too. When there's a donation list of thousands of dollars, when there's a mission fundraiser where we need to raise thousands of dollars, man, there's this confidence that we have. When we say, you know what, let's just give it out to the members. Let's just give it out to our church. Let's see how God responds in this way. And believe it or not, church, God has always responded because our members see the vision of what God is doing. It's because our purposes, our church and our members' purposes are aligned with God's purposes to spread the gospel. John Piper, he once said this, money is going to fail. It will do you no good on your deathbed. And whether you have eternal place will depend, at least in part, on whether you have used your money to advance the cause of Christ in the lives of others, or whether you have used it to advance your comforts and your status symbols. Man, I am proud and thankful. And I want to just encourage you, let's keep going, church. This is the concept that leads to godly character. And lastly, we read the conclusion that Jesus gives. He says in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the conclusion to have godly character. Make God your master and money your servant. We need to serve God and use money instead of serving money and using God. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:10 that some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You see, when money controls you, there will be sleepless nights because you worry constantly. Instead of God being your master, stuff has become your master. But it needs to be that the Lord is our master and money is just something that we use. And if you're a believer, the idea is you're using what God has entrusted to you for the benefit of the kingdom. You can be saying to yourself, yeah, Pastor Danny, I know, easier said than done. And I believe that is easier to say it than to actually live it out. But it's true. It's the truth. And what I'm saying here is simply what Jesus is telling us. Because even for us, even in the face of so much debt, in the face of a low bank account, in the face of an uncertain future, God tells us to trust him because he is our master. If it's his money, then he will provide. If it's his money, then he will provide. He has provided for us to this point. Why do we doubt his faithfulness now? Make God your master and money your servant. You know, at the turn of the century, John D. Rockefeller was the richest man in the world. To put it in perspective, if he was alive today, he would be richer than Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates combined. But his money had taken such a control over his life that he wrote, he became so sick with anxiety that he was on his deathbed and wrote that he could only eat crackers and milk. Everything else he would throw up. But then he got saved. And he began the discipline of tithing at his church and began living out the principle that theologian John Wesley taught. John Wesley said this, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And John D. Rockefeller said that when he began to practice tithing and we began to live with this type of mindset, money lost its control over him and he ended up living to 97 years old. Now, I'm not saying that if you tithe, you're going to live to be 100. Don't think that. What I am saying is that Jesus tells us that money is going to be your master if you do not make it your servant. For us as Christians, God gives us money for enjoyment, yes. He gives us money for basic needs, yes. But he also gives it to us to test our character. To say, are you really aligned with my purposes? Will you use this faithfully for what I have entrusted to you? And as he gives us a little, as he gives us small amounts, he will test our character in order to give us more. Now, how can we test what or who our God is, who our master is? One way is by this principle. You will sacrifice for your God. Whether that God is Jesus Christ or whether that is money. If you will sacrifice your time, your thoughts, and your resources for the sake of money, but will not sacrifice for the sake of Jesus, then money is your God. Church, it is the Lord's purpose to develop godly character in our lives. Proverbs 17:3, it says this, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. I believe this passage is God's reminder to each one of us that our possessions and our wealth, no matter how much or how little, is his way of shaping us and growing us to be more devoted, to be more mature as disciples of his. You see, as Christians, what we believe is that there is nothing in this world that will satisfy the longings of our heart like Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that money or fame will not fill us, but to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. I pray and I hope that us as a church would be able to come and see how good the Lord is. That we will trust in God because he is faithful. That we will trust in God because he has already shown all that he has done on the cross. And that for us, our possessions, our wealth, the things that we have is simply on loan from the Lord. And so as we reflect upon our heart, I pray and I hope, and I want to encourage you, continue just to give to the Lord. Give your heart to the Lord, give your possessions to the Lord, and see what he is able to do in your life. Amen? Yeah, let's pray.